Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us and all you're going to do for us. In all our problems, all our troubles, Lord, we look to you. Lord, open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Open your word for us, Lord. Open up heavens, Lord, and bless your people this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Has he made you glad? Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah! I can say it louder. I've got a microphone. I don't know. Some of you came pretty close. We're going to be in Isaiah 58 today. Well, we are, aren't we? We're going to be in the book of Isaiah chapter 58 this morning. I've talked about or spoken from this quite a few times, but we're going to hit it from a little bit different angle. Instead of talking, we still are to a certain extent, but instead of talking about what we're to do based on Isaiah 58, I wanted to talk about the promises of Isaiah 58, of the passage, what God promises. Because he, when we're faithful to him, he rewards us. As you know, we have our season getting ready to start. We're going to hear the pitter-patter of little feet. And it can get pretty busy real fast around here. Everybody looking forward to it? Everybody looking forward to that Wednesday night spaghetti? Okay, Isaiah 58, verses 8 through 13. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and shine health, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward, or your rear guard. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah 58, verse 8 says, Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. If they are faithful to God, if they are faithful to what God has called them to do, he will bless them with prosperity, because that's what's being talked about here. Does that mean that we're all going to have our bank accounts just inflated? Inflated, that's a good name for now, isn't it? No, it means he will bless us with prosperity. And that means many things, doesn't it? What we see here is a picture of darkness turning into light. Once the sun comes out, the light spreads fairly quickly. So also prosperity will spread quickly. It goes on to say, in thine health, thy healing shall spring forth speedily. You notice that quickly, speedily. When God does something, he does it suddenly. He says, I'm coming soon. Of course, he said that 2,000 years ago, but when he comes, it's going to be suddenly. Linda always used to talk about a suddenly, something that God does just bang, just like that, just instantly. Even though it takes a while sometimes. But he works fast. When it's time, there's no delaying him. Thine health, thy healing, shall spring forth speedily. Health or healing in the Hebrew means restoring to soundness. Literally, it also means to make long, as in a long bandage. That's an image of healing, isn't it? When the doctor puts that long bandage on us to bring healing. Spring forth speedily. This is actually talking about how, or the idea behind this is how plants are germinated. You put them on the water, sometimes you put them on a paper towel with water, and they sprout faster. So what he's saying is it's going to sprout quickly. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. Thy righteousness shall be your leader, shall be your guide. Psalm 139:10 says, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward, your rear guard. Isaiah 52:12 promises that the Lord will go before you and will be your rear guard. He's got us surrounded, doesn't he? The enemy quite often attacks from the rear. Where were the weakest? When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, Amalek, who was a descendant of Esau, he was Esau's grandson, attacked them. And in Deuteronomy, it talks about how he attacked them. He attacked the stragglers and the weak ones and the old ones and the feeble, the ones that had fallen behind a little bit. You know, we all can fall behind sometimes, can't we? But it's also talking about the weak ones. And there are times he likes to attack when we're at our weakest. But what does Paul say about when we're at our weakness? When we're at our weakest, God is at his strongest. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Which thou knowest not. Literally, what it's saying is you have not experienced this before. Knowest, to know, is experiential. That means it's something we experience, and that's how we know it. So we will experience it. God will show his power. God will show his what he's willing and able to do for us. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Thou shalt cry, pour out your heart, and he shall say, here I am. Exodus 3:7-8, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. Aren't you glad that he comes down to deliver us? That's what Jesus did, isn't it? He came down and he allowed himself to be put on a cross and he delivered us. Thou shalt cry and say, and he shall say, here I am. Here I am, the Lord says. You know, he's not just near. He's already here. He says, here I am. I am is his name as the all-sufficient one. So he's not just here. He's here in all his sufficiency. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. Vanity means empty or meaningless. Solomon talked about this in Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. It's like grasping for air. There's nothing there. If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke. The yoke in Scripture, the yoke is a symbol of oppression. But there are exceptions. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29 and 30, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we're going to have a yoke no matter what we choose. We're either going to have his yoke, which is easy, or we're going to have a yoke that's more difficult. He goes on to talk about the putting forth of the finger. Is that looking down on someone? Well, I always thought so. And that may be one thing it is. Still seems pretty reasonable to me to think that. But Calvin says it's the expression of anger. When I think of that, I think of Clint Eastwood. I think it was in the movie Gran Torino, and Clint Eastwood standing there, and he says, get off my lawn! He's pointing that finger out, isn't he? But Albert Barnes says something else. Albert Barnes was born in 1798. And that was important to me when I read this because of what he goes on to say. So we have a picture of a finger being pointed. Which finger? Guess which one Albert Barnes says it is. It's really pretty common. And I thought it was a recent gesture that people made. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you may have even had it pointed to you. But apparently it's a lot more recent, or it's not as recent as I thought. It didn't just occur, maybe it got worse and maybe it got vulgarized a lot more than it was. I don't know. But actually it's been around for a long time. Diogenes, you know, the guy with the lantern that sought the world looking for an honest man. I think that's a myth, but anyway, he's believed to be the most eccentric Greek philosopher ever. But he used to gesture with that finger to people a lot. And that was around 300-400 years before Jesus Christ. Albert Barnes calls it the finger of scorn. The putting forth of the finger. There's an attitude behind that, isn't there? No matter how you interpret what it means. It's a scorn. And I believe that's what Isaiah is talking about. The attitude. Because here is at Isaiah 58, we can't have that attitude, can we? Verse 10, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, soul means the heart, the affections. So what it's saying is, if you extend your heart to the hungry. He goes on to say, and satisfy the afflicted soul. Once again, if we replace the word soul with the word heart, it can be rendered satisfy the brokenhearted, the wounded-hearted, the heavy-hearted. We get a lot of wounded people here. Many of us came here wounded. We're a hospital. We have to show the compassion. We have to extend our heart to the people that come here. And what do we get for it? It says, then shalt thy light rise in obscurity. It'll rise like a sunrise at midnight. And thy darkness be as the noonday. Noonday will be the darkest it's going to get. You know, I was thinking about that, and I thought about 2,000 years ago when Jesus was on a cross. He experienced the dark noonday for us, didn't he? Because everything went dark. It went so dark they couldn't even see. Anyway, it was reported all over the world. Darkness. But he did that for us. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Once again from Psalms 139. Even there thy hand shall lead thee, and thy right hand shall hold thee continually. God doesn't just do it once. Continually. That's an important word. In Ephesians, it tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, literally be being filled. In other words, it's something we keep going back. We keep getting more. We keep getting more. And he keeps giving more continually. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul. Once again, there's that word soul. He will satisfy us with the desires of our heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What are the desires of your heart? I've always thought, well, I haven't always, but fairly recently, I've been thinking that I want the desires of my heart to be the desires of his heart. What he wants for me, because I don't really know what I want. He will satisfy thy soul in drought. Dry places. We know about dry places, don't we? We know about drought. I think we got a quarter of an inch of rain the last few months. And make fat thy bones. Fat in the Bible means prosperity. It's a good thing. Job 21:24 says his breasts, or that's in the King James Version, or watering places for flocks are full of milk. And his bones are moistened with marrow. It's prosperity. Good conditions. I lost my place. There it is. And thou shalt be like watered gardens, like a paradise, like the Garden of Eden. We can have flowers growing all over us. We might as well, because our countenance is going to show that, isn't it? And like a spring of water, like moving water, like living water. You know, I was baptized up in Oregon, but I wanted to be baptized in the Colorado River, so I was. So that's the second time I was baptized. But there's something about that, because the water is moving. Like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. They don't lie. They don't deceive. The fig tree that Jesus cursed was lying and deceiving. It showed promise, but it showed false promise. It didn't deliver what it appeared to promise. It's like a false or deceptive friend that Job talks about in 6:15. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as a stream of brooks they pass away. Refreshing. There's always refreshing in those springs of moving water. But it goes way beyond quenching a thirst. It speaks of fountains of pardon, peace, and joy, streams of salvation, and its benefits. They're always flowing, continually. Verse 12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Are you of us? Are you for us or against us? Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. This is referring to Israel, or specifically Judah, but it also can apply to lives that are put back together. We see a lot of lives that are put back together. Our lives have been put back together. Mine has. Many times, I think. Lives that are put back together. And it says, foundations of many generations. What's that mean? You know, when Cain killed Abel, who else did he kill? He killed every child, every descendant Abel would ever have. So what we do to one, their descendants benefit from it too, doesn't it? It goes way beyond that. We're not just helping the people we minister to, but we're also helping their descendants. Because they're able to form a foundation in their lives which will benefit all their offspring, right? Does that make sense? If their lives are put back together, doesn't it stand to reason that their descendants will also benefit? Can anybody argue with that? The effect is generational. You know, you throw a rock into the water and there's ripples. Everything we do causes ripples. The things here, you know, the broad scheme of things, you know, it may seem fairly insignificant, but yet it isn't. Because it touches lives. From the office to the kitchen to the clothing hut to the food bank to the showers. And God rewards that. Are we going to see all his rewards? Are we going to know, we going to be looking for certain things? We're going to see what he gives us. But God always recompenses good and evil. Our season opens on the 1st of November. The kitchen will open on the first Wednesday, which is the 6th this year. We'll be having spaghetti. We always start with spaghetti. My prayer is always that we have love in our hearts to everybody we meet. that we show Jesus to everyone we meet. Because that's the sermon we preach here. To show Jesus. There are people there that, there are going to be people here that test that. They make it very difficult, so I pray for patience. It's the right answer. We had somebody last year that was, we talked about this the other day, that was causing problems outside. We had to call the police. And the officer came and walked up to the guy and said, "You're not having a good day, are you?" What a wonderful answer. What a wonderful way to deal with him. I'd like to have more of that. We still have some spaces left on the board for the kitchen. So come talk to me if you want to you want to serve in the kitchen. Are we ready for a good season? Yep. I guess a better question is God ready for a good season? I think he is. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for all that you do, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your provision. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you, Lord, for the light that you give us that can shine for people in darkness. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise, it says. That means we're not just supposed to sit there in the light. We're supposed to get up. We're supposed to do something with it. We're supposed to allow that light to be shown, be seen. Lord, help us to always make good responses to situations. Help us to have patience, Lord. Help us to have love in our hearts and smiles on our faces. And I thank you, Lord, for all you provide. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, that you bless your people today and bring us back together safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.